The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. A little later on in the program, we'll be discussing the fact that no one seems to want to win La Liga. Barcelona losing at home against Granada. We welcome, though, in to discuss the Europa League to kick things off. Stuart Robson, Don Hutchinson and Shaq Hislop. We're at the semi-final stages, of course, of the Europa League. And what a performance from Manchester United's Old Trafford against Roma. They were 2-1 down at the break. Turned it on in the second half, completely dominating proceedings, beating Roma, Don, by 6-2. What a performance this was after the break.
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, I felt for Roma, Dan. They had three players go off inside half an hour, and they were leading 2-1 going into half-time. It was a brilliant game of football, but United were sensational in the second half. Bruno Fernandes turned it on. Cavani, every time he got a chance, he was just finishing left, right and centre. He was sticking at the top corner. Mason Greenwood came off the bench. He got his goal as well. I did feel a little bit for Roma. I felt as though it was a little bit of a... The scoreline didn't seem to reflect their performance because they really worked hard. They put a shift in. Things just didn't fall their way. The goalkeeper made two errors.
Don, they lost 6-2.
Were brilliant second
half.
They really
were. They deserved to lose 6-2.
Yeah. Well, they didn't because the goalkeeper made a couple of errors. There was a penalty decision that shouldn't have been given to Roma. There was one that shouldn't have been given to Pogba for a handball. So the scoreline slightly flattered Man United, but take nothing away from them. Second half, they were sensational.
They're both penalties, weren't they?
Well, first of all, I just want to address Don for a second. He said, take nothing away from Manchester United, but they should be flattered by the score. So you're taking something away from Manchester United. I have to say, overall picture in terms of what this game was about, they're defending.
Yeah.
In this game in particular, horrendous from both teams. Now, Manchester United got better in the second half, and they were able to address and obviously take advantage of some of the frailties defensively from Roma. The goal by Cavani in the second half, in which he received the ball in between the two center backs, nobody ever challenged Cavani. He then drops the ball off to Bruno Fernandes. Nobody challenges Bruno Fernandes. He runs at the defender, then lays the ball off to Cavani. Cavani scores, and there's still no contact on Fernandes, on Cavani, on anybody. Now, great play from Fernandes, great play from Cavani, good finish, and give credit to Manchester United. The defending overall, inexistent. I just have to say, the reaction from Manchester United was very positive, and it showed me something. It's a team that was in trouble going into halftime, that had some defensive frailties themselves, and yet they shut it down in the back, and then they took full advantage of their attacking talent in the attacking half. It was outstanding for Manchester United in the second 45 minutes.
Yeah, Shaq, we were talking, the semi-final curse looking like it was going to strike again for Solskjaer, but boy, that was some character shown by United in the second half.
It really was. Let me just double down on criticising Don here. When did Don turn into a kindergarten teacher? Well done, Roma. You tried really hard. Keep it up and you'll be a winner
Shaka.
Next time.
I mean, Shaka,
when,
come on.
Shaka, come on.
The context of the game, Shaka, the context of the game. Roma had three players go off inside half an hour. Their goalkeeper had to go off. The goalkeeper then came on and made two ridiculous errors. So although I'm saying Man United were brilliant in the second half, which they were, the goalkeeper and errors led to a couple of goals. There was a penalty by Chris Smalling on Cavani that was never a penalty in a million years. Nor was Pogba, by the way.
How is that not a penalty? He kicks him.
How is what? He doesn't kick him,
he
Dan.
He doesn't kick him.
He doesn't.
He kicks Cavani.
He doesn't.
Don, your voice can go as high as it likes. It doesn't make your voice any more valid.
Dan, the officiating in this game, I tweeted tonight, Champions League referees, outstanding. Europa League referees in the Arsenal and Man United game, horrendous. There was yellow cards flying everywhere. There was sendings off. There was yellow cards. There was penalties. It was outrageous, the standard of refereeing.
No one will ever believe
that Paul Pogba was a handball.
Right.
Nor, I've had United fans on Twitter, Man United fans saying the Chris Smalling one, never a penalty.
Don.
It's Man U fans saying that.
Oh, well, that makes your argument correct. Well done, Don. Because some United fans tweeted you saying it wasn't a penalty. You got it right. What are you doing listening to them?
I'll stand by what I see.
Okay, all right.
Both of them weren't penalties.
All right, Shaka.
Yeah.
were they penalties?
Yes, Pogba is definitely a handball. I think that there's no argument to that. Given the way the laws are written now, you throw your hand up in the air like that, sliding in, and it hits your hand. I'm not sure what the argument is. Maybe there's more of an argument with Smalling because, you know, if the contact comes after the ball, eludes Cavani. But even so, you leave your feet in the box like that, you're giving the referee a decision to make. That being said, I don't think the scoreline was unjust in any way. Manchester United were that much better than Roma in the second half. And for me, it again showed the class and the movement of Edinson Cavani, the finishing of Cavani, and the kind of understanding between him and Bruno Fernandes. Roma just simply didn't have an answer. And even though you tried to find an excuse, in all honesty, I thought that was arguably Manchester United's best 45 minutes of football, albeit against a team that are languishing in, well, not languishing, but sitting outside the top four in Serie A, and United just totally dominant.
Meanwhile, Robbo, I know you're not on social media, so you wouldn't have seen just before the kickoff between the Villarreal and Arsenal match, Don tweeting, there is absolutely no way that Villarreal are going to win this game.
Yeah, but funny enough, you sent it across to me, so that was all right. So I did see it. No, I mean, Villarreal actually started the game really
Cheers,
well.
Robbo.
I thought there was a lot of pace about Arsenal, and I saw Don's tweet saying that Villarreal had no pace, and that was quite right. But they had a lot of tactical acumen in that first half. They sucked Arsenal in. They played round the pressure. They got Foyt out down the right-hand side on many occasions because Pepe wasn't sure whether to go and go and press the centre half or stay with the fullback. He didn't make the right decision. And I thought Villarreal in that first half played some really good football, tidy on the ball, good passing, great movement. But in the second half, they got it all wrong. And I think also the manager got it wrong, Unai Emery, by taking off a centre forward, whether he was injured or not, and going to play a 4-5-1, and it allowed Arsenal to get back into the game.
And what does Barry from Basingstoke say about the officials in this game, Don?
Horrendous. Wait till you see the Saka penalty that got Arsenal back into the game. Wait till you see the Ceballos second yellow card for all he was doing was running and his stride accidentally caught someone on the ankle. So the referee's gone, well, that must be a foul because it looks really bad. Second yellow card, off you go. It's terrible officiating.
What's worse, the officiating or your prediction?
Well, no, I stand by my prediction from what I saw in the previous games. I commentated on the game against Zagreb and I was thinking, you know,
I stand by my prediction. They lost on. How can you stand by my prediction?
No, before the game, Dan, I was thinking there was only Samuel Chukwueze on the right-hand side with any pace. Pedraza, the Spaniard, on the left-hand side, left-back, very, very good. Middle of the park with Parejo and Capu. Couldn't get around the pitch. This was before the game, because that's what I saw in the quarter-final. And I thought Arsenal, if they were at it, would steamroll them. They'd be all over them. But Arsenal, I actually forgot it must have been the Arsenal, the flimsy Arsenal, that were terrible for 45 minutes and got lucky in the second half that they got a penalty. So Arsenal will be delighted the way they played. Horrendous performance coming away losing 2-1. They'll be delighted with that.
Was Saka a penalty, Robbo?
He made it a penalty by Saka because he was running with the ball. I think the defender stuck a leg out and then took it back and Saka made sure his leg went into him. So it's clever play from Saka. And the referee, once he'd given it, wasn't the VAR wasn't going to change it. I wouldn't have given a penalty and I'm with Don. I wouldn't have given a sending off or a second yellow card for Ceballos. That was a ridiculous decision.
Robert, who's a better manager?
On the evidence of the first half, you'd have to say Unai Emery got his tactics absolutely right. Mikel Arteta tried to play with a diamond in midfield. He then played with, it was meant to be a back four, but with Chambers going high and wide down the right-hand side and Villarreal got into that space. They got down the side of Ceballos because he was tucked in midfield on the left-hand side of the diamond. So in the first half, Unai Emery got his tactics absolutely right and Mikel Arteta got them all wrong. But I think it was the other way around in the second half. Why he went to a 4-5-1, I will never know, because it just invited pressure. And even when they went down to 10 men Arsenal, they still defended too deeply, VRL. So I think you got it wrong in the second half, Unai Emery.
Who's going through, Robbo?
I think Arsenal will go through. Because, and I'm going to back Don up here at the Emirates. I'm backing you up here, Don. Just remember this. At the Emirates, Arsenal yeah. have too much pace for Villarreal. And he's right. The only player that had a bit of pace in the side was the right-sided midfield player, Chukwueze, who went at the fullback quite often. But I think overall, Arsenal win the second leg and go through.
Don, who's going through?
I'm going all in, and I've got to go all in Arsenal. I have to. I've got to say, I think they'll be too quick for them, too powerful for them. But they've got to improve because they can't play at a slow tempo. If you play a slow tempo, Villarreal are very, very good at keeping the ball. Parejo doesn't really give the ball away, but you can get off him. But they've got to improve, Dan, because that first 45, I mean, Moreno had a chance at 2-0. He could have made it 3. And Bert Leno pulled off a brilliant save. But then right at the death, Aubameyang had a chance as well. So I think there's loads of drama left in this game, but I fancy Arsenal just to sneak it.
Ali?
Well, do I have to put out a tweet?
No, you don't have to tweet, and you don't have to listen to anyone who tweets you back.
Okay. So I don't care what people are saying out there on Twitter.
Well, it depends if they're agreeing with you.
Okay. Well, I have to say this. Don't overlook Villarreal. If they're able to control the pace of the game, I think Arsenal are in trouble. Now, whether you can say that people can run circles around Dani Parejo, yeah, well, that's not new. They've been able to run around circles around Dani Parejo for years. Now, the way that he can control the pace of the game and the way that Villarreal can control the possession, that will create problems for Arsenal. Having said all that, I hate to do this because I honestly, it's not within me to agree with Don. I think Arsenal are going through.
But you're in Villarreal yellow today, Ali.
Okay, you know what? I changed my mind.
Yes.
I'm going Villarreal. That's yep. it.
There yep. you go.
That's it. Villarreal, wow. You're going through.
Shaka.
Wow.
Listen, before Bo was kicked, I thought Arsenal were the better of the two teams. Villarreal could have killed the tie today, and should have, in all honesty. But they didn't take their opportunity, and I think they live to rue that. Arsenal won't give them a second bite of that same cherry. At home, Arsenal go through.
Just a reminder then, extra time available over on our YouTube channel. If you're wondering what's wrong with Don today, we find out a lot more about some of his issues.
Oh, no.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Granada with their first ever win at the Camp Nou, defeating Barcelona by 2-1. Just an extraordinary match. Let's just take a look at what that means for La Liga title race. Atleti then remain top of the table. 5 games to go. Real Madrid, Barcelona, 2 points adrift. Sevilla, let's not forget them, just 3 points off the top spot. Quite an extraordinary day in Spain. Ali, you summed it up quite nicely when we were talking afterwards about this. It was a similar feel to PSG's performance.
Mm-hmm. Somebody pulled the plug on Barcelona. The first half from Barcelona, if you just watched the 45 minutes, you would have, as you said, you know what? Let's go out in the garden and do something else. Let's go watch another game.
Yeah.
Hey, prepare for Europa League. Because this game was going to get out of hand at some point or another. And then the second half happened. And to me, Barcelona, and we have said this time and time again, and it's a repetitive rhetoric when it comes to Barcelona, it's a team that plays 20 minutes at a time. It's a team who will give you very good performance for a short period of time and then will disappear. What we saw in the second half it looked like a different team. No longer the ball control, no longer the fluid movement, no longer the combinations that we saw in the first half when between Griezmann and Lionel Messi. And I'm going to focus on Messi for a second. In big moments, at times this year, I go back to El Clásico second half, today, when the game became 1-1, it was a disappearing act from Lionel Messi. And it is symptomatic of what Barcelona is this season, that he himself has 20 good minutes and then is no longer available. You can't see him, you can't find him. And when they needed him and they needed attacking players to take a leadership role for this team in the second half, when it was still 1-1, it's still 20 minutes to go, and you may say, you know what, we're at home against Granada. We're more talented than this team. We're better than this team. Let's go back to the things that we were doing in the first half with that sort of movement with the ball, on and off the ball. Let's get in behind. Let's find the spaces. There was nothing of that from Barcelona. And there was nothing of that from Barcelona, from Lionel Messi and from Antoine Griezmann and all the big names. They all went and disappeared, and all the doubts came back, and all the frailties came back, and all this big hope that you had built on, hey, we have a chance to win this. We're going to win this. Somehow, it's a miracle. We have an opportunity in front of us, and what do? You lose points, and you lose a match to a team that had never won at the Nou Camp. Yeah. Unacceptable and embarrassing from Barcelona.
So let's take a look then, how the bookies have things set as to who's going to win this La Liga title. I tell you what, you would lump on Sevilla right now at 16-1. Why not? It's great value considering they're just 3 points adrift. According to the bookies, though, it is Atleti just favourites at 11-8. Real Madrid 5-2. Barcelona 6-4. That's quite something, Ali. What strikes me there is that Real Madrid are third favourites.
So ask me the question, Dan.
Well, these are the run-in. Five games to go. Who wins La Liga?
I have no idea, Dan. The worst thing that you can do right now is trust any of these teams.
Yeah.
And you said it. Throw your money on Sevilla.
Look, it's the weekend of May 7th, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Barcelona against Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid against Sevilla. That really will be the defining weekend, you feel, with regards with three games to go.
See, and as bad as today was for Barcelona, it's still right there in front of them. It's still right there in their hands. And potentially, if things go their way in that game between Sevilla and Real Madrid, then Barcelona, all they have to do is win out and they'll be fine. It's hard to trust any of these teams.
Go Sevilla.
Well, and
Real Madrid play them after Real Madrid have played in against Chelsea in the second leg. So if they get that victory, Atleti, Barcelona, someone's dropping points. Atleti are in free fall at the moment. Barca, you can't trust.
Well, and again, let me just go through all those teams very quickly. The worst thing you can do is believe in Atletico Madrid right now. They've been coughing up this league for 2 months. It's not just last week. It's over 2 months that they've been doing this, where the slide keeps coming, and they can't stop it. Real Madrid, physically, right now, doesn't seem like they're able to compete. And Barcelona, right there, in their hands, they just went, no thanks, we're going to toss this away. So, yeah, you know what? They don't deserve it.
Yep.
Sevilla, you go ahead and win this thing. Nobody else wants to win it. You go and win it.
So then, five games to go. The first of those this weekend on Saturday. Atleti away against Elche. Meanwhile, it's Real Madrid against Osasuna. And then on Sunday at Mestalla, Valencia take on Barcelona. The big test at the Sanchez-Pizjuan on Monday for our new favourites to win La Liga.
Hey!
That will last long. Sevilla against Athletic Bilbao.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think we defend well. If you see the goals, I think our chances that normally never end inside or touching the ball on the net, but happened tonight, that were for me two accidents.
It was a big accident, though, wasn't it, for the second goal, the wall falling apart. L'Equipe, nice headline, back to the wall. Talking about PSG's chances, of course, advancing to the final. Here's a clip from yesterday with my brilliant, insightful question. How embarrassing is that for a wall to, well, crumble?
A wall? No, honestly, I think it's pathetic. I don't need to say it myself, but ultimately that's the type of thing which is just unacceptable.
Don?
Players hate it. Honestly, Dan, players hate it when you watch a manager set his team up. And remember me and Stevie Nicol had a massive argument in the Porto-Juventus game about Ronaldo turning his back. I mean, it's one of the most basic things in football when fans pay their money to watch their teams play and they can't even have the bravery just to stand there and be brave and take a ball in the chest, take it on the leg, take it in the face. Just be brave for your team. And it just winds you up. It really, really grinds your gears when you just think, how are you not brave enough in a Champions League semi-final to stay strong in a wall? It's awful.
Robbo?
Dom's absolutely right. You've got to stay strong. You've got to make sure, if you're going to be a wall, you can't let the goalkeeper down and jump and turn your back and let the ball go between you. It's a poor bit of defending. It's shocking, really, and it shouldn't be accepted.
How would you feel if you're Keylor Navas, Shaka, and that happened to you?
It really is infuriating. There's no other way to put it as a goalkeeper. You're responsible for your half of the goal primarily. If the ball goes over the top of the wall, maybe you have a chance. But you see that coming all the way. To have a wall split that easily, I mean, it's cowardly, it's costly. It really is infuriating to be talking about a wall at this level of the game.
First goal, Shaq. Could Keylor Navas have done anything?
No, I don't think he can come. As a goalkeeper, you have to wait until the ball, especially when it's delivered as that De Bruyne ball was, just over head height. You have to wait until it beats the last striker. I think the deepest striker was John Stones, if memory serves me correctly, who stayed up from a set piece. Until it gets to him, Keylor Navas has to play for the touch. That's what he does. Anything before that, you are hoping that the defense copes with. Why, again, you ask, PSG defensively just seems so inept is simply beyond me. But Keylor Navas did as any goalkeeper should in that position. You play for the touch. The touch never comes, it sneaks into the far post.
Do you agree, Don?
I mean, I would always bow to Shaq's knowledge when it comes to goalkeeping. It's just one of them where you see it so often where I know what De Bruyne's trying to do. He's trying to start it on the far post with a little bit of curl, thinking if no one touches it, I've got a chance. But I always see them sort of goals in sort of slow motion because as an outfield player, I know what he's trying. And I always wonder why the goalkeeper doesn't try and think like an outfield player and maybe forget John Stones in that incident and just try and get the flight of the ball. But if Shaq says there was no fault to Navas, I'll agree with him.
No, you don't have to, Don.
No, I mean, that's my thinking of it, but he's the pro in that scenario. If I was Keylor Navas, I would try and get the flight of the ball and maybe think of the worst, not think if John Stones taps it in. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Robbo, Don's saying he knows better than goalkeepers, Shaq, huh?
Well, maybe he does. I mean, I think he was in exactly the right position to start with, and he has to wait or think there's going to be a touch. So he's in the middle of the goal. But at what point does he realise or not realise the ball's going to miss everybody? And that's the only question I'd have against him. Mm. At some point, he must realise that Kimpembe's not going to get there. He must realise that John Stones isn't going to get there. So he has to start moving across his goal and react that little bit quicker. That's the only thought you can have. His starting position was absolutely right, as Shaka said.
Jack?
I think if Stones gambles, he gets there. But I think John Stones as well doesn't think that everybody from PSG is going to miss it. So if you're a goalkeeper, you can't get drawn to the ball and find yourself out of position if Stones just does what If that were a striker in that same position that Stones finds himself in, I think the striker does gamble and does get there. But Stones being a defender doesn't have that kind of sense of anticipation about it. And that's what undoes Keylor Navas, the fact that a defender doesn't have the same striking instinct that, you know, a Kun Aguero or a Phil Foden would. And as a result, you know, kind of that's why he doesn't play for the flight of the ball.
That's it. A lot more reflection on what we saw in the Champions League in those first leg semi-finals in the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Be sure to go over to the website and download the latest edition, which is available. Ah, there it is.
Oh.
Now, what's Gab wearing today?
No, no idea. No idea. Oh.
Lots to talk about in the latest edition of the Serie Awesome podcast. Matteo joined by Nikki and Mina, where the top four race in Italy is very much a hot topic. Just to remind you how things stand going into the final lap of matches. Inter will win the title, of course. But then you have five teams vying for those remaining three Champions League places. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out between now and the end of the season. Robbo, what adds an extra element of fascination into this, obviously, is you've got Milan and Juventus, you would say, a little bit in free fall at the moment. Meanwhile, Napoli and Lazio are very much finding their feet at the right time of the season.
Well, I think it might be a little bit too late for Lazio, but Atalanta are playing really well at the moment. And when I look at the fixtures they've got to come, they've got Milan on the last day of the season and they've got Sassuolo quite early on. And I just can't see them dropping too many points. So I think Atalanta will get into the top four. Then Napoli, and you just mentioned it, Napoli have got the easiest of the run-ins. I think it's quite a good run-in. They're playing very well at the moment. So they're going to be in the top four. Then it comes down for me, Juventus or AC Milan. Juventus got two big games against Milan and they've got a game against Inter as well. If they can get maximum points for those games, I think they'll be the other team. Milan, they're on free fall. I can't see them winning too many of those games from now to the end of the season. It's a great shame because Pioli's done a really good job. And I just think it's too late for Lazio to make that run. They'll drop points before the end of the season and they won't quite get in their eye.
What's happened to Milan, Robert? Have they just kind of regressed their mean?
Well, I think, yeah, they overachieved for much of the season. I think Pioli did a wonderful job. They were playing with a 39-year-old centre-forward who was leading the line. Other players were running off the back. And then the youngsters were doing better than they really should have done. I think Kessie was magnificent for much of the season. Bennacer, when he was playing, when he was fit, he was a great a companion for him. Tonali was getting better and better. Then they had injuries at the back. The young players, I don't think Salamakers and Castillo are quite good enough to take them to the next level. So that's why Milan are now where they probably should be.
Finally, Robert, if Pirlo rang you up and said, Stuart Robson, what one piece of advice would you give me to do and to help my team get over the line to get a place in the Champions League next season? What would you tell him?
Well, I think he knows the answer because in the first half against Fiorentina, he tried to change the system. He tried to do things differently and it didn't work. He went back to the system that he's been trying to play most of the season. He's just got to play that better. And he's got to say to Ronaldo, if I'm going to play you up front, go and play up front with Morata. Don't go out in the wing. Don't go into midfield. We need two up front. And if you play up front with Morata, we'll get crosses into the box and you'll score goals. That's what he's got to be telling his team.
So a full programme of matches coming up this weekend. All winnable matches you suggest for those vying for a place in the Champions League on Saturday. Inter away against Crotone, meanwhile Milan against Benevento. Sunday kicks off with Lazio against Genoa and Napoli against Cagliari. Udinese against Juventus. Monday is Torino against Parma. All those games live on ESPN+. And then it's the Coppa Italia final Wednesday, May the 19th, live on Plus. What a great game it should be. Atalanta against Juventus. Certainly at the moment, the favourites would be Atalanta.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If I was asked you to put together the top 10 world best players aged 21 or under, would the list look similar to this? Well, this is ESPN FC's definitive countdown. Robbo, Don, still with us. Don, you've normally got an opinion on these things.
I don't think it's too bad, the world class, because they're all them kids are in now. I mean, I'd question why João Félix is down at 8, by the way. I mean, he's playing for the wrong team and completely the wrong style, wrong manager. So, Jadon Sancho is a fantastic young player, but sitting in second, I think that's a little bit optimistic. I'd have Phil Foden ahead of him, but I'd certainly have João Félix in the top three.
Ansu Fati, almost off the radar, obviously. Ali out, injured this season. Mm-hmm. It's interesting when we know what he's capable of.
Right. So, when you're putting together a list like this and you're putting Ansu Fati, you're assuming that he's going to come back from his injury and he's going to look great. And you're sort of projecting as to what he was and what he's going to be. I wouldn't put him in a top five if the guy hasn't been playing. As simple as that. The other thing I would say is that Jadon Sancho, as good a player as he may be, as talented as he may be, number two, no chance.
Yeah.
No chance. He's a part-time player for Borussia Dortmund. He comes off the bench every once in a while. He starts a game every once in a while. If you're going to be in this list, you got to be playing and be playing regularly. So a guy like Vinicius Jr., I would say that it should be higher on this list simply because of how impactful he has been for Real Madrid and how important he has been to the success of that team this year. As for who's not in the list, if you had made this list a year ago, a guy like Kai Havertz would be right smack in the middle of this, if not very high on the list. Mm. But he's had such a difficult time that he's nowhere near what his potential was supposed to be going to Chelsea.
Robbo?
Well, it all depends whether you're talking about form or potential. And Ali's absolutely right. Jadon Sancho last year played really well for Borussia Dortmund. This year, he hasn't played so well. Ansu Fati, he was brilliant for Spain in a couple of games that I commentated on. And then he gets injured. So we can't judge his form at the moment. The one player that I think maybe should be in that top 10 would be Alphonso Davies. Last year, because I think it was based on how they'd played in top-class games and how they'd played over a consistent period. Well, last season and the beginning of this season, he was outstanding. He was the best player by a mile against Chelsea in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. Bayern Munich won the Champions League. He played well in those games. This season, again, due to injury, he hasn't played quite so well. But if we're talking about potential and players that can go to the very top, he would be in my top 10.
You've got to say Alphonso Davies, Robbo, when people get angry.
Davies, sorry.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Davies.
Three Englishmen there, Robbo. It's interesting. Bellingham, Sancho and Foden. Mm-hmm. What order do you have them in?
Well, I'm going to go for Bellingham because what really? I like about Bellingham, he's a midfield player that can do everything. You know, and I think midfield players should be able to do everything. He's a player that can run forward and create and score goals. He's a player that can defend as well and get around the pitch. He's a good athlete. Whereas Jadon Sancho, as Ali said, he's been a bit part player at times. And Foden, I think, is an outstanding player and he will get better and better. But I still think Jude Bellingham, at his age, is going to be the top class player.
Well, there you go. I forgot Saka as well, at the bottom as well, Don. England dominated.
Musiala didn't make the list. Yeah, Musiala didn't make the list at Bayern. He's had a terrific couple of seasons, so it's not a bad 10, is it? If you're a youngster, you want to be in that 10.
Yes. There's only room for 10.
Well, thank you, Dan.
That's all right. For a lot more on this, you can go over to our website and check it out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, let's end the show with this nonsense. Shaka, take us through your power rankings.
What nonsense? Backed by popular demand, I'll have you know.
From who?
Lille, 10. Popular people. Monaco, 9. Dynamo Kiev. Napoli, They're third in Serie A. I don't know why that surprised me so much. Atalanta, they're second. Inter, they're top. Manchester United, I've been through a roller coaster with them all day long. PSG in at number three. Despite the loss, I know, don't start. Chelsea two. Manchester City back in at one, rebounding after that wonderful win away to PSG. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the only top 10 that really matters.
Where are PSG in the league, Frank? Shaka?
They are third.
Who's top?
Third or second?
Who's top?
Somewhere on there. Second, third, somewhere on there.
Who's top?
Lille.
Okay. So they lose against Manchester City. They're not top of their league, but they're still the third best team in the world.
Well, they're in the Champions League semi-final and they lose to the team that's number one in the rankings. So I have to factor in the opposition as well, you know?
Well, what about the opposition in their own league?
Well, that's, you know, that's over there. Lille down.
Why are Monaco above Lille, Shank?
Monaco, 7 wins in a draw in the last 8.
Right.
I thought that's the best form in Ligue 1. So they're in and they're above Lille.
Don, you have the floor.
I mean, that is just an almighty mess. Lille 10th when they're top of the league. Inter, by the way, have only won 1 in 3 games and were lucky to beat Verona at the weekend.
Oh.
And you've got Inter 5th. They've got 1 win in 3, Shaq.
Who would you like to see there, Dom?
Glasgow Rangers should be number one for a start. But how come Inter, Shaq, have got 1 win in 3 and they're 5th?
Who would you like to see there, Dom?
I know what you've done. You've looked at the league table and gone, Inter are still top. They must be good.
Well,
I'm going to pick them 5th.
Well, he didn't do that for Ligue 1.
No, he didn't do that for Ligue 1.
Exactly.
That's just how the data spit it out. I'm not one to argue.
Sure, Robson, you have the last word on this.
I've got to say, whatever Shaka says is always right. I know how much homework he does, how he really studies it carefully.
Yes.
You know, he knows all the players for every team. He knows the manager. He knows what's going on in football in general. He's a magician.
Yeah.
Absolute magician.
He's a magician, all right. It's a magician.
I love the fact
Let's
he
keep
goes,
Stuart.
Napoli a third in the league.
I didn't even know that.
We already
somebody told me that.
Talk about Italian football every
day.
What?
Do you know what? I was right all along. Sack Robbo off.
If you're wondering what all that is about, be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next, where Don tells one of the biggest lies you'll ever hear.
Lying!
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali Moreno, with me here in the studio. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. I'm pleased that you didn't have to see what took place off camera.
Oh.
Stuart Robson having some technical problems, and Don Hutchinson just saying, bin him, get rid of him.
Uh-huh.
Let's get on with it. Don,
wow.
This is a side of you that we don't see very often.
Wow. I've seen it in the show from other people, but not you, Don.
Yeah.
It's the migraine side. I've had a migraine for 2 days.
He's been banging on about this migraine that he's got.
It is. I've got a massive bright light right in front of my eyeballs as we speak.
Ah, oh, don't worry. We get a lot of sympathy.
So Robbo unfortunately got it.
You big brave soldier. Robbo, you can hear all of this.
Sorry, Robbo.
Yeah, I mean, that was the words he used. I'll just sack him off.
Yes.
Just sack him off. Get rid of him.
Yeah, that was it.
Robbo, I love you, man. I love you. I'm only joking.
Too late. No. Too late. You've been caught.
It's too late now. You can't take it back now. You know, say it to my face if you're going to say it.
Yeah.
they should have sacked him off then.
That's the thing. You don't know. Your mic is on. You know who's listening. Yeah, and
always be careful. Always a hot mic.
I know. That's right. But then Don ran his mouth the way he did.
Wait. Do you hear some heavy breathing?
It's must be Shaka.
Hey!
Hey!
Okay. I'm holding my breath here.
How long could you hold your breath for, Shaq?
Not very long.
That'd be brilliant television.
Not very long.
Y'all make me sensitive. Yeah, y'all make me sensitive about my breathing. So between you and Don wanted to sack everybody.
If there was a power rankings of breathing, fear not. Stevie Nicol would be number one.
Yes, running away.
A long way. I would like Ali to apologise to all Barcelona fans.
Oh, yes.
For jinxing.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
You said they were going to win La Liga.
Well, yes, but I also told them, I gave them a heads up. I said, look, it's your turn now. You're going to win La Liga. But it hasn't worked out for Atletico Madrid when I did it, and it didn't work out for Real Madrid when I did it. I told them to run away and hide and to beware that this would be the kiss of death. So I was right about that. I knew this thing was going to blow it, just simply because I said they were going to win.
Don, why is everyone acting like City produced the greatest masterclass of a semi-final performance yesterday when they were so bad for 45 minutes and scored two goals, which were somewhat lucky?
Oh, come on. It's the Champions League semi-final. I mean, what a performance the second half was. Mm. I mean, like, do people not just enjoy watching, like, a great game of football? PSG were amazing for the first 45 minutes, could have scored one or two more. Then Pep fixed one or two things in the second half. He got his fullbacks a little bit higher up the pitch. They squeezed the play a lot better. They put PSG under pressure. The Kevin De Bruyne goal, everyone's saying it was a fluke. He didn't mean it. Well, me and Robbo and Ali have played the game. And what you're trying to do there, Dan, you're trying to aim for the far post. And you're putting it in that area, trying to hit the far post with a little bit of curl with the intention. If no one touches it, it goes in. If someone touches it, it goes in anyway. So they weren't lucky goals, and PSG were a shambles in the wall anyway. So they deserved their loss for not being brave enough.
Shaka, how's that custard pie feeling that Don has just thrown right in your face?
Well, I'm not sure how to take Don today. You know, between his migraine and just wanting to get rid of everybody.
Yes.
You know, it's just...
Yep. Him, Ali, and Robbo have played the game. You not, Shaq. You've done nothing.
Whatever Saka was doing was not playing the game.
Outfield.
More picking on Don. What percentage does Don give both Real Madrid and PSG to turn the tie around, considering Don gave Chelsea 0% to go through to the finals?
Well, like Ali, we've all got a right to change our mind. And Ali somehow has come out of this smelling of roses, saying Barca are going to win the league, but he knew he put the kiss of death on them. So, I mean, that is, like, outrageous.
Okay.
I think City go through, for sure. And I'm going to lean towards Chelsea.
Right, what percentage,
I'm going to lean towards...
We need percentages. You know the game.
Ah... 60% of an all-English final.
60% of an all-English final.
Can I just
say? All-English final.
Yes.
You're the only one missing now from Don and his agenda.
Well, yes.
Because see, Robbo, we already knew.
Yeah.
Then he got after Shaka.
Got after you.
And then just went after me for no reason. I had no involvement in this question. So you're next, Dan. It's coming. It's only a matter of time.
Can the guys explain how Balbuena's... Can the guys explain how Balbuena gets a red card from VAR, but yet once the officials look at it, they take it away? Aren't they the same people, Don?
Do you know, Dan, West Ham have had this happen to them 7 times, and 5 times red cards have been overturned.
Wow.
That's incredible, isn't it? Seven times and 5 have been overturned.
Who decides if they're overturned,
by the way,
or not,
Don? No wonder Stevie Nicol's not on the show, because he said it was a definite red card.
Yes.
Laughable.
Yes, he did. Yes, Dan.
I've got a little... I'm going to get my own back on Don here.
Oh, good.
He came up... I was working with him on Sunday, and he came up with the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
He was going to sit... As an ex player, he wants to sit with VAR and tell them what they're doing wrong while the game's going on.
Yes.
He wants to be in with them. That's his new one. He's agreeing with it.
I want to be in there. I want to be in there. Not for the laws of the game. I just want to be in there and just tell them exactly what's happening when Balbuena just followed through with the ball and accidentally caught Ben Chilwell. It was just an accident. Why can't the VAR guys and referee guys know this?
Would Shaka be able to go in there because he hasn't played the game, has he?
Shaka wouldn't be allowed.
Keepers are not allowed.
No,
that keeper's not allowed.
Robbo, to be fair, I've heard worse ideas from Don. Why is it such a bad one?
Well, it'd be all right if it was me, Shaka, or Ali, but if it's Don, I mean, have you heard these arguments?
Don would be like, have I told you about my radical idea about being in a wall?
Turn off the monitors, I've got a migraine. I can't see. Yeah.
Have I told you my radical idea about players in the wall?
What's your radical idea, Don? Don't have one.
They should all face the wrong way.
Right?
So at least you don't know if the ball's going to strike on the back of the head or not. So you don't get out of the way.
That sounds safe.
Isn't that worse?
It's not worse because you'd be brave. You can't get out of the way if you don't know it's coming.
There you are, Robert. That's definitely a worse idea.
Take a short free kick and play it down the side and you're not watching the ball. That's
the
problem.
Correct.
No. See, the two guys on the outside of the wall, Robbo. The two guys on the outside of the wall, they'd be facing the ball.
Right.
But aren't they the ones that are going to be likely to be hit when they're trying to bend it round the wall?
No. At least the ones in the middle would be safe. At least the ones in the middle would be rock solid.
Your argument's not stacking up here.
No. There'd be a lot of players with migraines, I'm going to tell you that much.
Exactly.
Well, who would have thought 15 years ago, we would have seen the draft excluder.
Yes.
Ridiculous player lying across the floor.
Right, yes.
What a bad job that is.
One question,
Dan. You could do that job.
If everybody's facing
that's
the
a job
wrong
for Dan.
Way, how do they know when to jump?
Yeah. That's a good question. How do they
know? You're not jumping.
No jumping.
No, you're not jumping. You just stand still and be brave and take it on the back of the head.
It's very conducive to the concussion protocol.
Oh, my goodness me.
Hi,
everyone. I feel this is a Robbo question, given that he was an assistant coach. Uh-huh. I've always been curious to know what the assistant coach is telling the player when he or she is about to get subbed in. I've always seen the assistant coach with a tablet or a binder showing him something on the screen.
Mm. Well, what used to really annoy me, and I would never, ever do it, because it wasn't part of my job, they start telling the player, if he's going to come off, you're going to go on. You have to mark him at throw-ins. You have to mark him at corners. You have to mark him at set plays. The player's taking no notice of you whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you play zonal marking, you don't have to worry about all that. The times I've seen players pick up the wrong player when they've gone on, and it's somebody's job to go and tell them who should be marking who. I hate that when subs go on. Just let them go on. Tell them what the tactics are. Tell them what you want them to do. But don't start telling them every free kick and every corner. It just complicates everything.
Don, what's the worst thing any coach has assistant coach said to you just before you came on?
Now, the best thing, I've not really got a worst, but the best thing, I was looking for some words of wisdom before a reserve game once, and Alan Cork was our assistant manager at the time, and I said, go on, Corky. I went, give me a line just to get me going. Just get me going, give me something. And he went, head it, boot it, run dead fast.
There you are. Perfect.
Simple.
Don, why did you
it was
need,
your game,
why,
though, Don.
Why did you need somebody to G you up? What was wrong with you?
It was a reserve game. There was no one there. I needed something. I need adrenaline. I need right. Jeopardy. I need something on it. Reserve games, pre-season games, I'm hopeless.
Hey, face the other way, we'll kick a ball up. Shaka, when you were playing and you were on the bench, and the goalkeeper got injured, what's your like mental state? Are you hoping that he's badly injured so you can come on, or can't you be bothered to come on?
Man,
badly injured.
No, not, I find it's really hard for a keeper to come off the bench, or so I've found the couple of times that I've done it. It's hard just to get up to speed. You're coming off cold as well. I hated every time a goalkeeper went down and I was forced to run up and down the sidelines.
Shaka, one thing that annoys me, Shaka, is when substitutes are ready to come on, they haven't got their shin pads, they haven't got their tie-ups on. As you were a goalkeeper waiting to come on, did you have your gloves ready? Did you have your shirt on and all that sort of stuff ready to come on? Or did it take 5 minutes to get yourself all organised? Oh, hang on, with the gloves, where are they?
I had my shirt on. The only thing I didn't have on was my gloves. I didn't sit on the bench with my gloves on, but I'd have my shirt on and all that.
So why did you used to drive around with your gloves on in your Maserati, Shay? That's what Robbo always told us.
why? You just trying to get Robbo going again. That's all. You're just trying to wind Robbo up, get him telling stories.
What I will say, Shaka tried to bring Don Hutchinson into it last week when he said about him having a Ferrari. The difference between Don and Shaka, Don didn't have Hutch written across the back of his Ferrari like Shaka had written across the back of his Maserati.
I'm feeling you tonight, Robbo. Robbo, I'm feeling you tonight. If anyone should be sacked, it should be Shaka.
There you are. Don didn't have it long enough to get personalised plates. That's it.
Dan, you're going to get it. How long we got left? 5 minutes.
Plenty
of time.
Can I just tell you that I can picture Shaka when the goalkeeper gets injured?
Yes.
And he's comfortably sitting on the bench because for me, Shaka would be a lounger. He wouldn't just be sitting. He'd be sliding down that seat. And when they tell him Shaka has got to go get ready, he kind of goes, is he okay?
Yeah.
He's not up yet.
Got to get my fingers taped.
Once they go and check on him, he starts doing a slow walk down the sideline. Becomes a little bit of a slow jump, but still looking, saying, no, you all right. Yeah. He good, right? No. Okay, not even, a sweat has not been broken, nothing has happened, slow walk back, and lounging again.
Yep.
That is Shaka right there. I can see it happening.
We've seen it happen many times. Yep. Final question, which singular goal or save are the boys most proud of in their respective careers? Please start with Shaka, the goalkeeping legend.
What?
Whoa. I like that.
Go on then, Shaq, talk us through the save.
The save I'm most proud of, I just joined Newcastle a couple of months into the season. We were at home to Liverpool. Steve McManaman hit a shot that was going to my left. Got deflected, so I had to go scrambling back to my right. I was able to touch it onto the post and keep it out. We ended up winning that game 2-1. But because it was special because, well, I thought it was a good save, but it was very early on in my Newcastle career, and that kind of, that helped me settle in a whole lot better.
Don, best goal?
Oh, you're going to have to Google this one, lads. You're going to have to put this one in YouTube. It's amazing. Halfway line, outside of the right foot, started it wide of the post. Elland Road, Leeds United.
Wow.
Started it wide of the post, sliced it big time, straight over Neil Sullivan, right into the stanchion. Good 45, 50 yards.
Wow. Into the stanchion?
Yeah, into the stanchion.
You don't know what that is.
Actually, from the halfway line. That's from the halfway line.
From the halfway line, you hit the stanchion. You didn't score a goal.
Yeah, you know. Oh my goodness! See, this is what we're dealing with. You don't even know what a stanchion is. What? You don't even know what a stanchion is, Dan.
Isn't that the corner bit?
No, the stanchion is the corner bit, but inside the goal, man.
Oh, the post, the kind of postage stamp.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where the spiders lay their eggs.
Dan, you've made this harder than it should be. You really have.
No, I always thought the stanchion was the actual corner piece.
No.
No.
Oh, there you go.
It's the bit at the back.
Bit at the back.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned it.
You know the goal. You know the goal thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in there.
And was that reserves game against Leeds?
No. Proper game.
Hit it, boot it, and
Leeds,
run fast.
Elland Road. YouTube it.
I need
YouTube
something
it.
To get me
YouTube
going.
YouTube it. I'm going to do it now.
Let me tell you.
Ask Robbo here, and while we're doing it, I'm going to YouTube it. Uh-huh. Robbo, best goal?
Go on, do it.
Best goal I scored was for Coventry against Wimbledon. Running with the ball on the diagonal, saw the keeper coming to the near post, hands Sagas, and just got my foot underneath it and lifted it over it, and it hit the inside of the post, right on the top, where you were talking about stanchion being, Dan, right on the corner, into the back of the net.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it was Boxing Day, it was at Wimbledon, Selhurst Park, and it was one of the lowest crowds of the old First Division. Only 3,000 people were there, so not many saw it.
Oh, no.
But it's on YouTube.
Oh. It's on YouTube. Lots of YouTube. Here we go. Don Hutchinson versus Leeds.
Uh-huh.
Boxing Day, 2005.
What? Oh, I don't know. I can't remember that bit.
Oh, no. Maybe it's not. It's a different goal. Oh, this is bad television.
What?
Oh, it's
halfway line?
Right.
Am I on the halfway line?
It's... Don,
It's about 10 yards outside the box.
Come on, Don.
No, honestly.
No, it's the wrong one. Honestly. It's the wrong one.
Look.
It's the halfway line, man.
There.
No, well, it's halfway line. Hey, it's a great goal, Don, but you're nowhere near the halfway line. I mean, nowhere near the halfway line.
You're looking at the wrong one. Nah, you're looking at the wrong one. You're looking at the wrong one.
Is it the wrong one?
You did put it where my grandmother hangs her clothes, but that's about
outside
it.
Outside of the right foot.
Outside the right foot. That's
by the
one.
Dugout. By the dugout.
You said it was on the halfway line.
On the left-hand side.
No, it's honestly, I'm not winding you up. Hey. It's 30 yards out
yes,
at best.
It's, yes.
Don't, this has been some my goodness. Goal, some, right. It was a great goal.
Give it 3 or 4 years. Give it 3 or 4 years. Yeah. He'll be in his own box.
There's some
on the edge of my own box.
Robbo, trust me. Trust me, it's 45, 50 yards.
Don't, Robbo.
Oh, wait,
don't
wait,
trust
there's
him.
Another one. Is this Millwall now? No.
Oh, what
no.
a goal this is. Yeah, what a goal that is, by the way.
Tom, I can't believe you tried to crossbar tell us in. The halfway line.
It's misinformation at its very worst, Don.
It's right by the dugout on the left-hand
it's
side.
Not Ellen Road. It, Don. Why are you telling us?
Because I high-fived the manager who was in the dugout.
Well, were the dugouts next to the corner kick? Because, let me tell you.
Don, remember we had a conversation on Sunday. We had a conversation on Sunday about you getting facts wrong, about you were taken off for Les Seeley to go up front.
Robbo,
when people looked into it,
Robbo,
you were absolutely wrong. And you convinced yourself over telling the lie so many times that you were taken off and Les Seeley, the goalkeeper, was put on at centre forward. This has happened again, hasn't it?
Thanks for that, Robbo. Thanks for that, Robbo. No one needed to know that story, Robbo. Thank you.
Wow, this is a
I've just seen the goal. Goodness me.
See? Halfway line.
How small was the pitch?
It was a futsal.
That's halfway line.
Oh, my God. Robbo, I'm sending you it now. Watch it.
What chance have we got when the presenter doesn't even know what a stanchion is?
Don't backtrack. I admit, I like to learn things. That's good to know. You just lied, Don. I was thinking David Beckham. against Wimbledon.
It's nowhere near the halfway line. I mean, nowhere near.
He was past the halfway line. Beckham was past the halfway line.
Okay.
Listen, John, that's not even close. Unless that pitch is 50 yards long, it's nowhere near.
Honestly, everyone's going to see that goal now.
I'm crying over it. Right.
Everyone's going to be YouTubing that, going, "Wow, he's a legend! What a goal that was!"
Oh dear. Right.
It's not so much the quality of the goal as much as it is the most proud. World Cup qualifier, Venezuela against Ecuador at home.
Halfway line.
Very much halfway line. I have to say, we had just taken a beating from Brazil 4-0 at home. And all sorts of pressure, manager under pressure, players under pressure. He decides to make a bunch of changes for the game against Ecuador. One of those changes was me. And I scored the game winner in that match against Ecuador.
Oh, nice.
And that put us back onto the track of possibly making the World Cup. Eventually we didn't. But hey. We had hope once again, and I have brought that to my country. Bravo, Venezuela!
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. There we go. That's it. Don, that's it. You don't have to worry about your migraine now. You can just go to bed.
Oh, what's your goal? What's your goal and reassess?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, that is going to get
I'm gonna watch it.
Some views now.
You'll have to zoom out a lot.
Halfway line.
What?
That's it. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.